Oh, yeah, I am, because it's the weekend before Christmas. Actually, it's just the weekend, too. It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Talk for all of Northern Nevada. So whatever you want to talk about, ring those lines at 884-9910. But first, let's think about Christmas. I want to share something with you. This isn't the family tradition, but here we go. 'Twas a week before Christmas, and all through the house, Pelosi was scheming that Trump should be ousted. The subpoenas were hung by the chimney with care, just like Jeffrey Epstein after the Clintons were there. The Dems were all nestled snug in their chair, with visions of Bernie and his free Medicare. With all of their lying and Schiff pounding his gavel, they couldn't get Donald Trump to unravel. The 2020 election, the Democrats know they can't win. So we'll impeach the president and lose in the Senate. With Trump back in the office for another 4 years, we better get used to more liberal tears. So on this Christmas morning, with your gifts to unwrap, all delivered by Santa in his red MAGA cap. If you dislike this poem and think it is crass, you're all welcome to pucker up and kiss my American, well, you know, Merry Christmas. And Happy New Year. Extraordinary 2020 on the way. Yes. That's how we're looking at it. Another little question for you. Who is winning the Democrat debate? Trump, of course. That's what most people are saying. That was an interesting debate the other night. What a horrible night to have it. I don't think anybody watched because there were too many other good things on TV to watch. So, oh well. I would like to thank a loyal listener. Vince Condi, thank you so much for that, my new favorite Christmas poem. A lot of people getting into the holiday spirit, but I don't know. Are we? Are we having a good Christmas spirit? Are we having a good, we're going into a new year and let's celebrate? I was out doing some last minute running around last night, and I went to two different stores. So left my house, drove to the Summit Mall because I found out there was a See's Candy store substation there, which I was just thrilled. It was incredible because every year I have to drive all the way out to Sparks because I ain't going near the mall. Drove around, couldn't find it. It's on the backside of Summit. I didn't even know there was a backside, so found it in there, went in, did some shopping in there. Then went to another one of my favorite stores, Nothing Bundt Cakes, went in there. I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm going to be out all night, you know, getting stuff together and traffic. I mean, here it is, the Thursday, less than 1 week away from Christmas. The Thursday night, 5 o'clock rush. I leave the house at about 5:15. Going to those two locations, busy locations. I kid you not. I do not exaggerate. I left the house at 5:15. I was back at the house at 6:15. There was nobody out. I went in, I gathered up all my stuff, I paid, drove to the next location. I thought, well, I'm going to try and take the freeway, but it's probably going to be backed up. Got to my other location, walked in, picked out what I want. I'm traveling to California, so I had to get a red velvet bundt cake for my mother because I might as well just not even show up at the house if I don't. So, got my stuff, went back home. There was nobody out. I was driving around the summit and thinking, God, I could park anywhere. Then when I went downtown, there was no traffic. Am I missing something? Are we just not in the holiday spirit? Are we not in the giving spirit? Have the Democrats just beaten us down so much, or the liberals, the left, that we're just not even out and about? Or are our brick and mortar stores just falling that much more behind because everybody had things delivered? I mean, people know that criminals. Yes, criminals are people too. Criminals know that those UPS trucks are loaded, the FedEx trucks are loaded, so why hit up stores when you've got one driver? Please do your part in our community. If you see somebody tailing a delivery truck, if you see someone casing your neighborhood, I mean, now they just follow the trucks. They wait until they drop the stuff off on your porch, and then they run up and grab it. Please say something. If you see someone who doesn't belong in your neighborhood, and that's not a racial thing, that's not an elitist thing, that is a, you know who your neighbors are. You know what looks out of place. Call Secret Witness. That's what they're there for. We at least have the luxury of having a secret witness. So do your part in the community, and if you see something, say something. If you see your neighbor's house being hit, just yell at somebody and say, hey, I got your license plate. Because a lot of these brilliant people seem to use their own vehicles. So for law enforcement, all you have to do is give them a license plate. Tell them what you saw. A lot of people traveling. If you are traveling out of town this Christmas season, not holiday season, this Christmas season, tell your neighbors. I mean, you don't have to announce it to the entire neighborhood, but tell your direct neighbors. Say, hey, would you mind, you know, if you see someone in our driveway, no one's supposed to be here. So could you just keep an eye out? Because that's what we have to do. We have to keep an eye out for each other, because as I receive emails from a listener, hi, Skip. Merry Christmas to you. Law enforcement's not like it used to be. They don't just cruise neighborhoods. They don't just cruise around looking for trouble. There's enough trouble out there lining up that they're busy 24/7. Between the desert dumping and the porch pirates and carjackings, drive-by shootings, the things you don't hear too often in the media, because they want to give you that sense of this is a safe, easy community. Well, there's ways for you to find out that we have MS-13 gangs here in Carson, We've got gangs in all the different communities. We have criminals in all different communities that could care less if you're on a fixed income. And during the holidays, especially Christmas, yeah, Thanksgiving too, because they know that people went out for that Black Friday shopping and got a bunch of goodies. But that's what it's all about for them. They're doing their own shopping, but their shopping is at your house, in your car, at your business. I hope we never follow suit of California. I can just imagine what their shoplifting scene is going to be like now that they have not decriminalized, but now if you go shoplifting, if it's under $1,000, well, who cares? That's up for the store owner to deal with. People are saying we're Californicated. And it's funny that the word that is derived from, the California and the, you know, because it really does feel as though we're all being, you know, we should all be wearing pretty socks by the way that we're getting dealt with. Merry Christmas. I like being able to say that to you on this Friday before Christmas on Wednesday. What happened to the time? We've all been caught up in politics and impeachment hearings for the last 3.5 years. Now Pelosi holding on to those articles of impeachment. So please log on to our poll question today. It's an easy one. Do you think Nancy Pelosi is going to do the constitutional thing and turn over those articles of impeachment? Yes or no? 991fmtalk.com. You can also live stream the show there as well. 884-9910. We will be back on the Monica J Show, your show.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana.
92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. What would you like to talk about today at 884-9910? Let's go to the phone lines. David wants to continue on with our conversation about crime. Boy, a lot of it happens this time of year because, well, it's convenient for the criminals to go out and do their Christmas shopping at your house. Hey, David, thanks for calling in today.
Yeah, hi, Monica. I'm actually calling you from the land of Pelosi. I'm in San Francisco.
David, and, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. And, my dad had a 25-year Santa Claus pin, so I was lucky enough when I was a kid to see the Naughty or Nice file.
Wow.
And boy, that changed my life.
So you've gotten coal in the past, I take it?
Oh, well, you know, it's not something that somebody wants to spend their time on for all of their life. That's for darn sure.
That's right.
You know, regarding the crime, and, you know, this gets into whether or not America is going to have a, you know, a healthy Christmas if we allow all of our shopping to be done by online arrangement. It puts all our eggs in one basket.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, of course, that gets into whether or not criminals can get all their eggs in one basket by just tracking where packages are coming from. So when you start getting into data theft, you know, I heard you trying to blame Pelosi for the crime wave, and that's preposterous because I can't imagine who pretty much set up a system where America put all its eggs in one basket.
No, I wasn't blaming Pelosi. I was saying California had lowered their standard of shoplifting to now if it's less than $1,000, it's a misdemeanor instead of a felony crime.
Oh, well, so that has to do with inflation. You know, it used to be that a felony was $50, then it went up to $500, and now it's time that it went up to $1,000. So it's, you know, I mean, I'm dealing with a city where it's the average rent out here for a one-bedroom apartment is $3,700 a month.
Jeez.
You know, so when you start talking about hyperinflation,
yeah,
and, you know, inflation on a felony, is it worth the court's time to be even dealing with something as if putting someone in prison for years for something that can be, you know, lifted with a lift of a, like, a cell phone? I mean,
yeah, but David, that's rent. I mean, when you're going around and you're, you know, stealing from stores, that $1,000 is actually still quite a lot of stuff to a small business owner. So,
well,
I'm not
disputing that. I'm just saying,
yeah,
that hyperinflation. You know how the when I'm baby boom, right? And so when I was a kid, it took you 22 hours at minimum wage to buy 1 ounce of gold. And that was when the minimum wage was $1.60 and the price of the ounce of gold was $32 an ounce. Now, if you took today's price of gold, and I'm going to guess it's somewhere short of $1,400, that would be about a $65, $68 an hour minimum wage. $68 an hour minimum wage. If we were to keep up with the inflation of 1968, the minimum wage should be $68 an hour. Now, is your state legislature working toward raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, to $25 an hour? It should be $68. You know, so,
well,
so when
depends.
You start talking about a $1,000 crime, you know, how much does it cost to keep a prisoner for 5 years?
Right,
after
David.
$1,000 theft?
You also have to look at the inflation of different areas. I mean, yeah, you're hyperinflated in San Francisco, but when you go to different areas across the country, I mean, there are different counties right here in northern Nevada. You go to Carson City and it's not as bad. You go to Douglas County, it's not as bad. So,
well, I just rode Amtrak through the state, you know, on the way over to Salt Lake City, Reno to Salt Lake City, and I realize that there is utter poverty, you know, once you get away from, you know, from the downtown areas, there's utter poverty. But that's true here in San Francisco, too, because the minimum wage is still barely $15 an hour in San Francisco when it should be $68 an hour. And I'm telling you that $68 an hour is for the minimum wage. If you're a plumber, maybe you should be getting five times minimum wage. If you're a, you know, a school teacher, maybe 7 or 10 times the minimum wage. And how many teachers are even getting $25 an hour? I mean, it's obvious that America has been cheated because the minimum wage has been intentionally kept down for 50 years. 50 years of minimum wage being forced so low that the baby boom has been cheated five times. You know,
well,
the subprime,
but we've been cheated, David. We've been cheated on more than just the minimum wage. The minimum wage would not be that much of an issue if business owners could keep more of their money from the government. More of our money goes out to other countries than we're spending on the low-income people here in this country. If more people could keep their money and only pay for services that the public actually needs rather than arts and entertainment and sports through the federal government, we would all be sitting in a lot better position. There is no way that you are ever going to see, not in either of our lifetimes as a back-end baby boomer here, that we're going to see that type of employment or that type of money coming in as a minimum job. And yeah,
well,
we do have
the legislature's been bought and sold. They outsourced our jobs back in Reagan days. It was actually Nixon that, you know, the detente with China helped set it up so that they became the repository of sweatshops for America were sent overseas. Mitt Romney, I mean, who's that guy that, you know, claims to be so pious and his Bain Capital? And Wilbur Ross is our Commerce Secretary.
Mm-hmm.
How many jobs did he outsource to China for the last 50 years?
That's why we need to shut China down. And that's why they're also the the world polluters because we're not keeping track of these factories, and those factories are sending out pollutants that are claimed to be causing all of this climate change.
So I don't doubt it. Yeah.
We have been messed over by our government for
Not our government. Our government gave them permission to leave. And it was the corporate types at the top that decided to leave. And it has.
Yeah, but it's the corporations that are paying to keep reelecting the elected representatives that are approving all of this. So the government is in bed. The government is in details right alongside of them. But David, Merry Christmas. Thank you for calling in from California as
my pleasure. Happy Yalda. That's tomorrow.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I can't believe you knew that. David, have a wonderful weekend as well. Thank you for the call. 884-9910. We are the home of Fox News. We'll get back to more of your calls. Bruce, Gene, hang on the line. 884-9910 if you'd like to say something today. Also, if you'd like to stop by, if you are in Carson City or you're willing to drive, it's got to be the Carson City location because that's actually where I am today. I have got a couple of nice sandwich combos for you from Port of Subs. So call right now, 884-8000. First caller up, you're going to win that combo. And thanks for listening. Here's Fox News on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
We say Merry Christmas, and we mean it. 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
Indeed, 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, live and local for all of Northern Nevada. Hey, shoot me an email if you would like, Monica at 991fmtalk.com. Also, you can connect with me through social media, as Jules just did, sent me a text on a YouTube video that's going around about the National Guard is being used as a threat to be deployed against the state of Virginia Second Amendment sanctuaries. Yeah, it's really building up there. You know, it was one of our original colonies. They've been through this before, but I don't know. This might be taking us into the real world of what's happening right now. It's the Monica J. Show. Let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Bruce this morning. Hi, Bruce. Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas right back to you, Monica. I was calling about, something that your last caller was talking about, although I would argue that there's no relation between minimum wage and the market influences that dictate the price of gold. The fact that there is even a minimum wage to begin with is a perversion of our Constitution.
Yeah.
The Commerce Clause of the Constitution does not empower Congress to establish a minimum wage. That makes each one of us individual Americans an instrument of Congress, an instrument of commerce, and controlled by Congress.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what the founding fathers intended.
It's capitalism. You know, if you don't want to have a job, guess what? You don't have to have a job, thanks to our government system that we have now, because we have the welfare system set up. And who did that? Was that Roosevelt? Who did that? But, you know, you go out and you work for what you want.
Exactly.
That came actually from our colonies.
I don't want anything for free. Thank you, Bernie Sanders.
Thank you very much.
If I didn't earn it, I don't want it.
You know, that came through our system of the colonies when we were first started in this, when we first started in this country. People set up colonies and said, you know what, we're going to have this. Everybody's going to work. We're all going to use our skills, and then we'll divide everything up. And then it was figured out that people, even then, didn't want to work. In the 1600s, in the 1500s, in the 1400s, way, way, way back, it's always been that way.
And they fixed it.
Well, and if you don't want a $10 an hour minimum wage job, I mean, that is minimum.
Exactly.
Minimum wage jobs are not to make a career out of. They're for kids to get into the workplace. We've bastardized it. So.
Oh, yes, we have. It's been perverted. The entire Constitution has been perverted way beyond the original intent. But it's my contention that the best thing that could happen for business is for the government to get out of it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we're going to see, you know, when Trump is reelected, we're going to see more deregulation, which he's already done.
Well, that's something that historically people have discovered. the less regulation that you put on commerce, the better it is for everybody.
Yeah, it really is. Too bad the left doesn't see it that way. So, Bruce.
Nope. And Donald Trump has pointed it out, has he not?
Almost every single day. And he just keeps going with a smile on his face, impeachment or not. It's just.
All this winning is hard to take.
It really is. It really is. I want a t-shirt now. I shouldn't let this out because someone is going to steal my idea and they're going to put it into mass production. But, you know, I just can't hold it back anymore. I want a picture of Trump. You know how they show with his fingers pointing down at his crotch or something like that. And I want it to say, impeach this, and then have a list that he's actually pointing at. He's not pointing at his crotch. He's actually pointing at the list that says best economy ever, lowest unemployment ever, lowest unemployment for Black Americans, lowest unemployment for all Americans, low unemployment for women, lowest unemployment for Hispanics, and just have the list, Dow at, you know, all-time record high, just have the list keep going on and on. And
I'd buy that t-shirt.
I'd wear that t-shirt. I don't care if anybody buys it. I want people wearing it. Somebody stole one of my pins the other day. A friend gave me a bunch of pins to give out that says, enjoy capitalism. And it's the Coke symbol. it's the best. It's the best. So, Bruce, I got to get on to Gene. Thank you so much for the call, and you have a Merry Christmas, and I hope to talk to you next year. So, Gene, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging on that amount of time. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas as well, and I want to wish everyone a Happy New Year's as well. I enjoy that New Year's holiday than any as we move into a new decade, but... you know, apart from the t-shirts you alluded to, you know, I'm getting a lot of mileage out of my whiteboard erasable bumper sticker on the back of my truck. I still have people taking pictures of it and giving me the big thumbs up. And the latest message is, I like my car and my heater, Trump 2020. And it may seem a little bit, you know, there's a little levity to that, but... I would say that that's one of the things that we'll be voting on next year when you look at this Tom Steyer ads about dismantling our energy infrastructure. But going back to the economic economic part of this conversation, you know, I have a little bit of experience with this, and one of the things I see with respect to minimum wage and what I see going on at that bottom rung of the economy is that I had a lot of interface with 42 years of carrying mail for the U.S. Post Office. And one of the things I saw is a lot of people, a lot of young kids these days, they want to smoke weed, they want to smoke cigarettes, they want to tattoo up their body and put fishing lures in their face and then cry wolf that they haven't climbed into the middle class. Mm-hmm. And I think that the raising the minimum wage to exorbitant levels will be a disincentive for young people who are floundering at the moment to really get off their derriere and get things moving for themselves. No one is entitled to entry into the middle class by wrapping hamburgers for a living, and I think that people need to move forward with that. But going back to the other caller.
But well, let me say one thing that you just mentioned there, but that's the way that the Democrat presidential candidates see it, because look at Yang, that he's offering $1,000 to everybody just to be.
I saw his universal income free money proposal, you know, but we all know that there's no free lunch. And it simply isn't the American way that you would have that kind of disposition where, you know, if you did drop out of high school, tattooed up your body, put some fishing lures in your ears or whatever else, and then cry woof that you haven't attained the middle class, that somehow there's free money from the government awaiting you because you just decided to do all the wrong things and you're not going to live with the consequences of your choices. But going back to the floundering middle class, I think we have to put the spotlight back on California, where they have such a massive unelected government across the level that taxpayers there have to pay for, that whether it be putting half of their workforce on safety retirement, they now have under CalPERS agricultural inspectors under safety retirement, retiring at age 50, under the taxpayer enabled pension system there.
Wow.
So if you look at the unelected government and how much we're taxed for that, it is part of the Trump strategy. When we see the tax cuts and where they've led us economically, in fact, I live really at the bottom rung of the economic ladder myself. These tax cuts have been a real boon for me to put me in a better disposition to aid the economy with discretionary spending, and that's what we see happening. But when you look at all of the agencies, and if you look on a national level, you look at the cabinet level departments like the Agriculture Department, we're still paying a lot of money to test the flow rates of ketchup. We have land management agencies that are so over the top and so redundant that they cost millions and millions and millions of unnecessary dollars when all these land management agencies should be collaborated under one roof and have their vehicle fleets cut in half. And then on a state level, now we're going to have a State Department of Immigration. We're going to have free legal aid for immigrants and vagrants. We're going to have all these things. And I think that's where the Trump strategy is you just don't really have to starve the beast.
Yeah.
You have to keep taking money away from the government so the unelected government can't grow and create the kind of taxation gentrification that has either pushed California's middle class out of the state or into pup tents. And, you know, I feel a lot of anxiety now with Mr. Sisolak and the specter of this upcoming legislative session in 2021 that I've kind of circled the wagons myself because I anticipated an onslaught of taxation to the likes of which the Nevadans have never seen before when the legislature gets back if it doesn't change in 2021.
Yeah.
That's
why I wish people would get more behind the recall effort because he is just going to do more damage. He's already looking at the tax structure. So I think we're going to see a lot of the tax structure change in the next legislative session, which he wants fewer jobs. He wants better paying jobs. He wants to go, as he puts it, quality over quantity. And I would just rather make sure that everybody who wants a job has a job, because I'm sorry, there are people in this world who cannot get those quality jobs. They never will be able to get those types of jobs. It is just a standard of fact.
You don't get quality jobs tattooed up with fishing lures hanging from your earlobes.
Well, now wait a minute. I have three tattoos. I know a lot of people don't. Even my producer just went, "What? You have three of them?" So let's not go too far on the tattoos.
But I was going to say is that what Mr. Sisolak is doing to expand the unelected government, to expand the parameters of free money, to expand Sanctuary City. As I alluded to before, I had a surreptitious conversation with Mr. Edgar Flores, and he thinks it's a good idea to divert our sales taxes into free medical for non-citizens. So what Mr. Sisolak is now doing is he is creating a budget deficit deliberately for the 2021 session so he can cry wolf to Nevadans that we need a whole plethora of new taxes that would include a mileage tax, a state income tax, escalating draconian tax increases on property taxes and issues like that. And he's doing that all on purpose. He's putting the cart before the horse. He's spending money he doesn't have to cry wolf when we get to 2021. So hopefully Nevadans next November will make enough serious change in the legislature that a lot of these pipe dreams won't happen.
We're already seeing the problem with legalizing marijuana. You know, for those tax dollars, it's all for that tax revenue, and they're not actually thinking about the people of Nevada when they do things like that. Gene, thank you so much for the call. I'm so glad you called in today.
Thank you. You have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Hey, big congratulations going out to Tim of Dayton. Thank you so much for calling in. You've got two medium classic combos on honey wheat, courtesy of Porta Subs and the generosity of my producer, because it was his idea today. So you got to thank Dan the man for that one. So, Tim, make sure you grab that certificate and have a meal on us. We'll be back in just a moment with more of your thoughts on, maybe the consumerism at Christmas is going to be down a little bit this year, or is it just Jeff Bezos reaping the rewards. We'll be back with your comments at 884-9910 on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Absolutely live right now with your calls at 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica J Show, and to heck with that, it's your show. It's Ron's show, so we'll just call it the Ron Show today. Merry Christmas, Ron. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been seeing in the news recently about the vaping and that young people ages in mid and high school that over 27%, they're saying, are already in use of the product. And my concern is for those kids that are younger that will be socially influenced to use the product. And most current to myself, being a senior, is the effect on the health care costs in this country that are going to evolve from this use. And how is the government, with the only so much money to be able to spread out throughout the system, how us as seniors and then the mid-level age people and then those students as they become users over years and manifesting the diseases. Now, University of California just recently in San Francisco, they put out a report that they are finding carcinogens in the products themselves along with the nicotine, which is the addictive, is the toxins that are in the product. Now, if you were selling tobacco, you couldn't do that and market it to children. But recently, they marketed to children because they put flavors in it, just like they put flavors in the sugared drinks.
Well, Ron, it goes back to, you know, the whole Joe Camel thing. You know, they couldn't use comic things like that to sell Camel, you know, a Camel selling Camel cigarettes because they said that's marketed to children. You can't have things like South Park gambling because they say that's marketed to children. You know, there are people who enjoy comic characters and things like that. There are older people who enjoy flavors. They still enjoy bubble gum. We have a huge thing of bubble gum at work in the studio. So we can't keep on this whole marketing to children thing. It is about personal responsibility. And if you are under 18, yeah, you still have to take personal responsibility. But that responsibility then falls to your parents who are supposed to be watching you. We know it is not good for you. The companies know it is not good for you. But at some level, it's just like drinking. It's smoking pot, drinking sugary drinks, eating fatty foods. There has to be personal responsibility. And with the Democrats' call for universal health care, everybody's covered, it is going to decimate our health care system. And you are going to get the worst possible health care ever if we have one united system. And I think as you're worried about, I think seniors are going to be the ones who are taken advantage of the most because you're going to be denied things. You're going to be denied treatments. You're going to be denied medications because that's how they look at it. You've already lived your life. I hate to put it bluntly like that, but that's the way it is.
Well, I understand the truth of what you're saying, but conversely to that, is these kids, they don't have the fully developed brains in order to make decisions as we do as adults. And therefore, we're putting a pressure on them. Yes, take responsibility. But if you went through your teenage years and understood responsibility and millions and billions of others on this earth, not all children are capable of totality of taking responsibility for their issues when they are socially engaged with peer groups that use products, that do things, that for them to be part of that peer group, they have to participate.
Well, and then that just makes it a standard, just like alcohol, just like cigarettes, just like Juuls or, you know, what people are seeming as dangerous. Cut it off, 21. If you have to be 21 to buy a pack of cigarettes, then you should have to be 21 to be able to buy Juuls and be able to smoke. And that's any vaping products.
Well,
I'm not picking on Juul here or anything like
no,
that.
No, but your truth is if it has to be 21, it has to be 21. My concern is it doesn't matter if the law says 21. if someone wants to find something that's on the market, someone else will get it for them.
Yep.
That's the proof of these kids when they smoke under 18th or use vaping. They didn't go out and buy it. Someone got it for them.
Yeah, and then that's where it falls back to enforcing the law and consequences. If you're caught buying anything, that's it. You're off. We need a different level of jail.
Yes,
there
has to be teeth in the law.
Yeah. Exactly. I like that analogy there. Teeth in the law. Make it stick.
Thank you very much.
Ron, Merry Christmas. Thank you very much for calling in. You got some great points there. And again, it's following the trail. So when we put these things out, I'm hoping that they didn't create flavors to go towards children, because I know when I'm picking things out, I like strawberry. I like vanilla. I mean, isn't that how we choose ice creams and things like that? Guess what? It's going to be the same thing when it comes to things like vaping. All right. We'll be back with more of your comments. Going to get a Fox News break here with some business news as well. Imagine that. All-time high record on the Dow and all of these different markets that we're looking at. I guess the financial market really didn't care about Trump being impeached. Do you?